to begin praying some very dangerous prayers. I think sometimes our prayers are what I call safe prayers. And I confess to you that that would be true of me, certainly. Maybe you will say that that's true of you as well. We pray, "Dear Lord, would you please bless my family?" Now, certainly, that's a good prayer. I'm not knocking that prayer at all. We want God to bless our family. We need for God to bless our family. But that really is a pretty safe prayer. We pray, "Dear God, would you please help our church?" And I hope that you're praying that kind of prayer. I would hope that every single one of you are praying that kind of prayer through the week. We need His help. We need His guidance and His blessing. We want you to pray that prayer. But really, that is a safe kind of prayer. We pray, "Dear God, would you please protect us as we travel?" And I would imagine as we get ready for a trip, many of us, if not all of us, would pray that kind of a prayer, that God would protect us as we travel on our vacation or the weekend trip that we're taking. In fact, this last week, I prayed that very prayer for my daughter, Rebecca. She was getting ready to board a plane to head back to Indiana, and in her arms were her was her little boy, Judah, my grandson, and I prayed that prayer. "Lord God, would you help Rebecca? Would you protect her as she travels and protect my grandson? Help him to do well on the trip." And later, Rebecca said he did do well. He was laughing and he was smiling, and I think he probably had the stewardess eating out of his hand on that trip. How does that happen? A three-month-old baby has a grown man like me eating out of his hands. How does that happen? These are all good prayers that we are praying, but they are safe prayers. They are prayers that are not really moving us in a forward direction spiritually. I want to challenge you to begin praying some very dangerous prayers. Prayers, and I use the word dangerous in a good way. These are prayers that could move you and me out of our comfort zone. These prayers could unsettle us, you might say, and that could be a good thing for us to be unsettled to a point that we move closer to the Savior. Let me take you to the scripture that will lead us to pray this first dangerous prayer, Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. I'm going to have you read that with me here in just a moment. We'll pray this prayer together. But first of all, let me give to you a little bit of context about this particular prayer. As you look to Psalms 139, you see that David is the one who is praying this prayer. His enemies are on the attack against him. They are against God, and David prays this prayer. In fact, you look at the whole chapter. I looked at it this morning, and apparently someone long before me had preached this sermon, and I had made some notes through the chapter. And in the first part of that chapter, it's "God knows me." And then you move a little bit further down into the chapter, it's "God created me." And you move a little bit further into the chapter, "God amazes me." And then you move a little bit further into the chapter, towards the end of that chapter, it's "God scrutinizes me." And that last part of the chapter is what I really want to focus on today, praying, "God, would you search me?" Would you read this prayer with me, please? "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That is a very dangerous prayer for us to pray, and yet I'm going to challenge you to pray that prayer every day this week. Would you do that? Would you be willing to pray that prayer to God every day this week? When you awaken in the morning, before you crawl out of bed, I'm wondering, will you pray this prayer to God before your feet hit the floor in front of you? How about as you're in the shower, would you be willing to pray this prayer to God? How about as you're walking on the treadmill? Would you pray this prayer to God? When you're doing the laundry, when you're cooking supper, when you're on the tractor, before you get ready to crawl back into bed, would you pray this prayer there at the end of the day? And I'm thinking that if we would pray this prayer sincerely to God, then He is going to do a great work in our life. Let me break this prayer down for you to 4 points, and this is straight out of Scripture. The first point is simply this: Lord, would you search my heart? Search me, O God, and know my heart. David invited God to reveal to him what was in his heart. I think a lot of folks are deceived into thinking that they have a good heart. Well, sure, I have a good heart. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm working hard and supporting my family. I'm trying to be a good neighbor. In fact, you know, last summer when my neighbors went on a vacation, I fed their dog and I got their mail and I even mowed their yard. Yeah, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to pay my bills on time. I give money to charity. Sure, I have a good heart. And the truth is, from Scripture, apart from Christ, none of us have a good heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The truth is, we do not have a good heart. We deceive and lie to ourselves. In fact, we may lie to ourselves more than we lie to anyone else. We say, I'm good with God. Me and God, we're just like this. But if we say that, and in reality we spend very little time with Him in His Word and in the prayer closet, then really we are just deceiving ourselves. What we say and what we do are two different things. We say, I'm not a gossip. I never gossip. I just pass along information to people so that they can pray. We're deceiving ourselves. We say, I'm not materialistic. I just like to have nice things. I don't have a lust problem. I never lust. I just appreciate the beauty that God has created. I'm not selfish. No, I'm not selfish at all. It's just that my way is always the right way. We're pretty good at deceiving ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things, the prophet said. We need to pray with David, God, would you search my heart? Would you help me to see what is really inside of me? And I think if we prayed that prayer sincerely, He would show to us the truth. His Holy Spirit is able to reveal the truth to us, and it may be uncomfortable for us, it may be a bit disturbing for us to see this truth, but if we really are sincere in praying this prayer, it will be a good thing for us in the long run. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." This last week, Ruby Fortner went into surgery, and the doctor's knife cut her. And had she not been under some really good drugs, that knife would have really hurt her as it cut deep into her body. But it's good for her in the long run, isn't it? That's what surgery is really all about. It's good for us in the long run, even though at the time it hurts. The bad part has to come out so that she can get better. And the same is true spiritually for us. If we pray this dangerous prayer, "Search me, O God, and know my heart," it may be painful at first, but in the long run, it will be for our good. I want to encourage you to give God that chance to reveal the truth to you, to perform spiritual surgery on your heart. If bitterness is inside of your heart, hidden away, let him show that to you. If you have a temper problem that you have been denying, you have been lying to yourself saying, "I don't have any temper problem." But if it's there, let him put the spotlight on it for you through the Holy Spirit. Give to God the freedom and the right to probe into the inner recesses of your heart and reveal the truth to you about yourself. Not for the purpose of making you feel so bad about yourself, but more for the purpose of helping you to be made better, to help you to become more like Jesus. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." And number two, the second part of that prayer, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." What is it that makes you anxious? What is it that you worry about? Are you afraid of losing your job? Are you afraid of getting, that you're in a marriage and you're kind of stuck there and you're afraid it's not going to get any better? Are you afraid of the future? Are you afraid of the unknown? Are you afraid of change? Are you afraid of losing someone that you love? Are you afraid of not having enough when you retire? Are you afraid that something's going to happen to one of your kids? Are you afraid of a bad diagnosis from the doctor? What is it that you are afraid of? What do you lay awake at night and worry about? The reason I'm asking you these questions is what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. Now think about that. Let that sink into your mind. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. If I'm scared to death that my marriage isn't going to work, then really, when it comes down to, I'm really not completely trusting him with my marriage. If I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to pay my bills at the end of the month, then I am not trusting God fully to be my provider. If I am afraid about the future and what it might bring, then really I am not trusting the one who has said to me that he has me in the palm of his hand, and I'm not trusting that to be true. What you fear the most, what I fear the most, reveals where we are trusting God the least. Dear God, would you reveal my fears? Would you test me and show me what my anxious thoughts are? If we will pray that prayer, I think he will show us what our fears are, and that's when he wants us to address those fears. He does not want us to live in fear. That's one of the commandments that we read throughout Scripture over and over again. God says to his people, do not fear. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to give our fears to him and to know that he has us in his hands. There is nothing too big for him to handle. There's nothing too difficult for him. Your health issues are not too difficult for God. Your marriage issues are not too big for God. Your kids and their future and their well-being is not too big for him. Your need to pay your bills at the end of the month, that's not a difficult thing for him to handle. If he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, if all of the earth is his, everything that is in it is his, then your bills being paid at the end of the month is not too difficult for him. Jesus said it this way, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And the answer to that question is certainly, yes, we are worth more than the birds of the air. He will take care of us if we trust him. Now, that doesn't give you and me the right to go out and be stupid with our spending. And to think, well, you know, if he's going to take care of me, I can just go and buy anything and everything that I want because he's got me in his hands. No, he's given us a brain to use. He's given to us wisdom, and he wants us to be self-controlled. If he looks down and sees that we are out of control with our spending, then there's going to be some consequences. Lord, would you test me and know my anxious thoughts? Would you reveal to me what my fears are and then help me to turn those fears over to you? And the best way to address our fears is to address them with the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given to us a spirit of fear or timidity. Rather, he's given to us a spirit of sound mind and power and love. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, one of my very favorite verses out of the Old Testament, says this, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God's promise to every one of us. I remember when that particular verse first came to my attention. I was getting ready to go in for surgery at Mercy Hospital in Fort Scott. It was a hernia surgery. It wasn't, you know, a major surgery at all, but I had never gone in for surgery. I'd never gone under anesthetic that I could remember. Now, when I was just a little bitty guy, I had my tonsils out, don't remember that, had wisdom teeth out, but as far as surgery, really major surgery, I'd never had major surgery before. There I was, laying on the table, waiting. Somebody came in, prayed with me, gave me a piece of paper. I looked at it. Said Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Peace of God washed over me at that very moment. That's how you dispel fear and anxiety and worry, is with this book right here. You remember, that's how Jesus handled temptation in the wilderness. Satan came against him, gave him 3 different temptations, and every time Jesus answered the temptation with what? With Scripture. He quoted Scripture to the devil. That's how you handle temptation. That's how you dispel fear, is with the Word of God. And knowing that He is with you always. When you address your fears with the Word of God, fears will diminish. The third part of this verse that David prayed: see if there is any offensive way in me. What David is praying is simply this: Lord, would you uncover my sins? Now think of what he's saying here in his prayer. He's saying, Lord God, would you know my heart? Would you help me with my fears? Help me to know what my anxious thoughts are. And thirdly, he is saying, help me if there's any offensive way in me. Uncover that. Help me to know what sin is in my heart. If there is anything, Lord, that is displeasing to you, if there's anything, Lord, that is within me that is dishonorable to you, Lord, would you help me to see that? He's asking for God's Holy Spirit to come and to help him see the truth of what is inside of him. And we need to pray this prayer. Have you noticed, apart from God in us, it's really not easy for us to see our own sin. Now, we can see other people's sins pretty easily. Joe, can you believe how arrogant he is? And Shirley, oh my, she's just a little snippety. You better watch yourself or she'll just bite your head off. And we can see other people's sins, but not always can we see our own sin. And if somebody comes to us and tries to point our sin out to us, like our spouse, when she or he tries to point our sin out to us, we can get really defensive, can't we? We can justify ourselves. We can excuse ourselves, and we can turn it right around and point the finger back at them in a hurry, can't we? Dear Lord, would you please see if there is any offensive way in me? Would you reveal to me what my sins are? We need to give God the freedom and the invitation to do this so that we can be forgiven of our sins. As I've looked closely at this passage, really what I think David is praying is he is inviting God to come through the Holy Spirit and search every nick and cranny of his inner being. Lord God, would you search my motives? Lord God, would you search my thoughts? God, would you search my actions? If there is any offensive way in me, would you reveal that to me? Would you put the spotlight on my sin? It would be like you or me going to our doctor and asking him or her to give to us a thorough examination. Doc, I want a colonoscopy. Fun, fun, fun. I want a stress test. I want you to draw some blood and have a complete workup on my blood. I want you to look at my blood pressure. I want you to listen to my lungs. I want you to give me a really good checkup and make sure that my health is where it needs to be. That's what we're doing with God. We are going to the great physician and we are opening ourselves up to him and we are saying to him, God, would you search me and know my heart? Would you test me and know my anxious thoughts? Would you see if there is any offensive way in me? If there is pride, God, show that to me. If there is lust or bitterness, God, would you convict me of that? If there is greed or laziness, dear God, would you reveal that to me? When he does, show us those sins. It's then important for us to deal with them, to give attention to them. We cannot choose to let sin coexist with us. I think sometimes we do that. We excuse ourselves. When we do see what our sin is, we tend to just kind of excuse ourselves. Well, it's who I am. I can't help it. It's just one sin. It's not that big of a deal. There are a lot of people who are so worse off than what I am. Besides, I have a right to be bitter. No, you don't. No, you don't have a right to be bitter. If we can view sin through his eyes, we would learn to hate it as he hates it. And we would understand that it is a big deal. It is a big deal. Our sin is a big deal. It's what caused Jesus to go to the cross. Our sin is what put him there. It must be dealt with. It must be given to him. And if we would choose to give him our sins, we would be so much better off. Uncover my sin, dear God. I will confess it to you. I will repent of my sin. I will seek to change my life with your help and by your amazing grace. Oh God, would you search my heart? Would you know what my anxious thoughts are? Would you reveal to me any way that is offensive to you, Father? And number four, lead me in the way everlasting. We need him to lead us. We need him to direct our steps and to empower us to live according to his will. We cannot live this life that Jesus calls us to live by our own strength. We need his strength. You see, there is a way that is everlasting, and this book tells us that he is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. I hope you know him today. If you don't, that's what the invitation is for. We're going to sing an invitation here in just a moment. And the invitation is for anyone who would not know Jesus, that to give you that opportunity to say, hey, I want to know him. Maybe you don't know really even what that means. Come and talk to us. We can help direct you towards the way. We can help you find new life. All it takes is a giving up of yourself and a giving in to him. I'm wondering, would you pray this prayer with me together again? Let's pray it together. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What I want to challenge you to do, one of two things. Memorize this verse to a point that you can pray this every day from your head and your heart. And if you say, I can't memorize, I can't do that, then write it down. I want you to write this verse, these two verses down, write it on a piece of paper, and have it with you through the week. Maybe have it on your bathroom mirror, and when you get up in the morning and you go into the bathroom and you look at yourself in the mirror, pray that prayer. Have it in your pocket. And as you're driving to work, don't take your eyes off the road. But you pray that prayer. As you're sitting at the break table or at the lunch table, pull that paper out and pray that prayer. Lord, would you search me and know my heart? If there's any anxious thoughts within me, God, test me and help me to know those. If there's any offensive way, point it out to me. And God, would you lead me in the way everlasting? It's a dangerous prayer to pray. But I think God wants to answer this prayer. This is a prayer that he wants to answer. If you are serious, if you are sincere, as you pray this prayer, you're not just reading words off of a paper, you're not just quoting words from the air, but you are sincere in praying this prayer, God will help you to see areas within that you need to give up to him. He will do spiritual surgery on you. And you'll be better because of it. Let's pray together. Give us the courage, God, to pray this prayer this week, every day. Would you work in us? Would your Holy Spirit, we open ourselves to him. We give him access to the inner recesses of our heart. We need you, dear God, to search us. In Jesus' name.